Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lonnie, come get this pen for me, please, reading. Can you finish? Yeah. Right there. And it's Miss Mary's pen. Well, you can wipe it off your hand. Okay. Amen, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, when you listen to the recording, if you listen to it, just forget the little small interruption. Praise the Lord. We forgot to record last Sunday's message, but I got it going today. So we praise God. We thank God for our communion part of our service. He's just so good. God is just good. He's just good. Amen. And when we take communion, we remember his death and suffering until he comes. Remember, he died on the cross, what, for all our sins. Amen. He delivered us and set us free. Amen. I don't know about you, but I needed deliverance. Amen. So I thank God for that. Our message today is the subject. Our scripture is going to be coming from Matthew 18 and 1. And also from Matthew 11, 28. Hebrews 12, 1. James 1 and 12. And Revelation 2, 10. I'll go through that again for you. Our scripture lesson is going to come from, I don't have one scripture I'm going to start out with. So Matthew 11, 28. We're going to read several scriptures there. Hebrews 12, 1. You're going to read a couple there. James 1, 12. Revelation 2, 10. Hebrews 12, 3 and 4. Mark 35 and 36. We're all the way down 37, 38. We just started Mark 36. And we're going to read several. Mark 4:35 and read several scriptures in Mark. And I think that's all my scriptures because we don't have anybody to put them down for the Zoom people. I will let you know again when I get to them, but so you have a heads up when we're going to be going today. But today's subject is trust Jesus, not the problem. Trust Jesus, not the problem. And if you don't have a problem, you had a problem. And if you don't have a problem now, you might have a problem, what, later on. We've all had problems. And if you're born again, sometimes you trusted God instead of the problem, but sometimes we trust the problem more than we trusted God. So today I want to talk about trust Jesus, not the problem. And did you know that the ability to trust is something we were all born with? Children, babies are born trusting. They haven't learned to not trust yet. So babies are born trusting. Children automatically trust their parents because they are their caregivers. They loved us and provide for our needs. So we automatically trust our parents. I mean, that's, we grew up trusting our parents. In matter of fact, we have to teach our children what? Not to trust, because everything in the world, you can't trust it. And everybody in the world, you can't trust it. You can't, a child cannot trust, they might see fire. They can't trust that fire not to burn them if they touch it. But at first, they don't know that it's going to burn them. We have to teach them, don't touch that. You know, it'll burn you. Don't run in the road because the car might hit you. Don't do this because that might hurt you. You know, you can't talk to strangers. You can't trust strangers. You don't know them. Because children, strangers would take and kidnap children. So we have to teach our children not to trust. But children are born what? Trusting. They're born trusting. And we have to learn not to trust. And we learn not to trust pretty quick. And so then when you get born again, you got to learn how to trust again. You got to learn how to trust Jesus and not your problem. Sometimes when our trust is severely damaged in a severe way, we have to relearn to trust. All of us probably might have had our trust damaged Someone misabused our trust. We trust them, they hurt us. We trust them, they did bad things to us. So then we have to relearn to trust, because sometimes when one person does you bad and you have a problem trusting, you have a problem trusting everybody. One person abused that trust, but now you're kind of skeptical and you don't trust anybody because you don't want to get hurt. You don't want to be hurt again. You don't want to be taken advantage of again. So in that situation, you need to relearn to trust. And in relearning to trust, you got to learn who you can trust, who you can't trust. Can't trust everybody. Be nice if we could trust everybody. We can't trust everybody. So we have to relearn to trust when our trust has been abused. As a matter of fact, what if we abuse somebody's trust? They're not going to just start trusting us right off again. If we abuse somebody's trust, we have to what? Earn that trust back. We have to gain that trust back. We are to love everybody, and by the grace of God, we can love everybody. But because you love everybody, that don't mean you trust everybody. You can love them, but you don't have to trust them. If they haven't earned that trust, or you don't see where they're trustworthy, so you don't have to trust them. What about an abused spouse? What if a spouse, the spouse will abuse on maybe the husband or the wife's side? Spousal abuse. Okay, that abusive spouse, you love them, but you can't trust them. And if you're in an abusive situation, you need to get out of that abusive situation. You know, but then if you want to get back with that person has to earn your trust. You can't just go back and think that they're not going to abuse you again. So that person has to, that trust has to be earned. It has to be earned. Trust has to be earned. Love don't have to be earned. Love is unconditional. Trust is not unconditional, okay? But we can trust the Lord. We ought to trust Jesus, not the problem. Trust Jesus, not the problem. What did the Bible tell us? What did Jesus tell us about trusting? He tells us to become as trusting as what? Little children. Matthew 18:1. Let's go there. Matthew 18:1. Become trusting like little children. It's amazing how children with, I'm going to say this. Donnie tells Lonnie, he's going to take him to McDonald's and get him, what, a Happy Meal? If Donnie tells Lonnie, I'm going to take you to McDonald's after church and get you a Happy Meal, Lonnie believes it. She has no problem believing it. If he says it, she believes after church she's going to get that Happy Meal. If he says she's not going to get it, look, she probably knows she's not going to get it either. If she's done something, she's not going to get it. But children trust what their parents say. We trust what our parents said. My mother, I did trust my mother. My mother told me she's going to get me for doing something wrong and whip me. I believed it. You know, and I believed it. And matter of fact, mama had me so trusting in what she said that she didn't have to be around. And I did what I knew mama wanted me to do because I didn't want to get a whipping. I didn't know if mama might find out about it or not. So children trust their parents. They trust their parents. And they're trustworthy. They'll trust strangers if they haven't been taught not to trust strangers. So Matthew 18:1 says this. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Second verse, then Jesus called a little child. Excuse me, y'all. Then Jesus called a little child to him. Set him in the midst of them. Lonnie, bring me water. Thank you. Got a tickle in my throat. Thank you. Verse 2, then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them. Third verse, surely I say to you, I'm sorry. Surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 3 again, surely I say to you, now I'm getting too hot, Donnie. Trying to get y'all warm, and I'm getting me too hot. And surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. The Passion Translation says this, learn this well. Unless you dramatically change your way of thinking, and become teachable. Why does Jesus say we need to become as little children? Little children are teachable. You can teach children. They're teachable. And so we need to become to the place that we change our way of thinking and become teachable. Before we get saved, before we get come into the kingdom of God and get born again, we're taught by the world. The world teaches us what's right. The world teaches us what's wrong, or our parents or whatever. Our thinking is not biblical. It's not kingdom minded. We're not kingdom minded, but we worldly minded. And we thought like the world. If the world said it was right, that's okay. If the world said it was wrong, that was okay. So we didn't have a kingdom mindset. We weren't thinking kingdom minded. But Jesus said he wants to be like little children and change the way we think. In order to trust Jesus, we got to change the way we're thinking and become teachable. And we got to learn about heaven's kingdom realm. And that's how a child is. A child is ready to learn. You can mold the children. When a baby's first born, that baby comes into the world ready to be molded. Thinking ready to be molded. Behavior ready to be molded by the thinking. A baby is like a slate ready to be put into the thinking of that child, the things that are need to be put there. And that's how we need to come into the kingdom of God. We can't come into the kingdom of God and be kingdom-minded, thinking the same way the world thinks. We can't trust Jesus that way. Because if we think like the world thinks, we're not trusting Jesus. We will be trusting the problem. We'll trust the problem more than we trust Jesus. And we got to learn to trust Jesus and not the problem. Do we have problems? Yes, we have problems. Will we have problems? Yes, we will have problems. But we cannot trust the problem. We have to trust Jesus. The thing is, what does Jesus say about the problem? Whatever Jesus says about the problem, that's what we should trust, not the problem. The enemy might tell you, you got a bill to pay. You ain't got no money. You sitting up with your budget trying to add things up. And I had a friend at the Y last week, and she said this. She said when she went to get her taxes done or went to an accountant or something, when they added up everything, she spent way more than money she had. And he said, how do you do that? You spent more than what you made. Because she trusted what? Jesus, and not the problem. Somehow or another, God got money into her hand. Every time she needed some money, she got some money. Somebody gave it to her or something. You know, she trusted Jesus and not her bank account. She trusted Jesus and not her amount of money she had every month. I'm retired. I get Social Security and retirement. I don't trust the Social Security and retirement. I trust Jesus. You know, some people will say, my money's fixed. My income's fixed. I can't do this. My income's fixed. I can't. No, my income's not fixed. It is not fixed. That's it. I have an unlimited bank account. I trust Jesus, not my income. He's my provider, not my income. And the same thing when it comes to other things, like our bodies, when something goes wrong with our bodies. Trust Jesus, not your body. Trust Jesus, not how you feel. Trust him. What does the word of God say about this? The word of God said, by his stripes we're healed. So we need to trust the word, not the feeling, not the physical body. Trust the word of God. Trust God, not the problem. And there are going to be problems, but trust him and not the problem. Let's read Matthew 18:4. And Jesus says this, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, whoever what? Continually humbles himself to become like this gentle child is the greatest one in the kingdom of heaven. Not just humble yourself. Every time we trust Jesus instead of the problem, what are we doing? We're humbling ourselves. Humble, to be humble means to admit, okay, Lord, I don't know how to solve this. I got a problem. I don't know what to do with it. Even if I think I know what to do with it, I got a problem, but I'm going to trust you. What do you say about this problem? How do you want me to work this out? I'm not going to be so big-headed and think I know everything and don't need to ask God nothing. No. A humble person humbles themselves under the mighty hand of God. They don't exalt themselves. When you think you know it all and don't need nobody's help, don't need God's help. We got a young man here today, and that's good. You know, sometimes we think, what? Don't need mama's help. Don't need daddy's help. I know what I need to do. That's not being humble. That's not showing humility. We humble ourselves when what? We become willing to listen. Willing to listen. Willing to hear. Sometimes we think our way is the only way. Listen. And then trust Jesus. Allow him to work it out for you. Allow him to do it for you. And he will. He'll do it what? Every time. He'll do it every time. Children are so trusting and humble, they don't even see a problem. They don't. They don't see the rent got to be paid or the mortgage. They don't see food got to be bought. They don't see that you might not have money to do everything they want to do. They don't see that. They don't see the problem. All they see is, mommy and daddy, you must have the answer. And wouldn't it be nice if we did Jesus that way? Jesus, you got the answer. I look to you because you got the answer. I look to you because you what? You made the way. You're the way, the life, and the truth. So I look to you. You're the way. You're the way out of this. You're the way out of this. They learn to see danger and problems from us. They watch how we handle circumstances, situations, and problems, and they copy our behavior. Children copy our behavior. They copy our emotions. If you're afraid of something, they'll be afraid of it. If you don't have any confidence, they won't have any confidence. What if we were just like children that way with Jesus? We copied everything like he did. We looked to Jesus and we said, okay, Jesus, this is what you said. This is the way you look at this. That's the way I'm going to look at it. Become like little children. Become like little children and copy the behavior of the Savior. They believe to be true whatever they see and hear in their parents or someone else they highly trust. You see people acting like other people because they're looking at how that person is behaving, and they trust what that person is doing, how that person's behaving. So they start doing the same thing. And that's not good to, in a sense, because if you trust in somebody like that, you're not only going to get their good behavior, you're going to get their faults too. So we need to look to Jesus. We need to look to Jesus. The Passion Translation says this: simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you will discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please, and you will find refreshment and rest in me. That's from Matthew. Let's look at Matthew 11, 28 in the King James Version first. We need to learn to look to Jesus. We need to learn from Jesus and to look to Jesus. Matthew 11, 28. Says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Join your life with Jesus. If you're born again, you've already joined your life with Jesus. If you're not born again, join your life with Jesus by accepting him as your Lord and Savior. And then what we'll do? Learn his ways. Learn Jesus' ways. He said, learn my ways. And then what we'll discover, he's gentle, he's humble, he's easy to please. And we'll find refreshment or rest for our souls. Then he said, what? Walk with me. Work with me. That's the Message translation for Matthew 11, 29. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Watch how Jesus does it. Read the gospel. Read the life of Jesus, how he ministered down here on earth. How did he do it? How did he do it? Learn how he did, how he dealt with things. He loved his enemies. He blessed those that cursed him, because that's what he told us to do. He would never tell us something that he didn't do. That's what he did. So walk with him. Work with him. Watch how he does it. And then this, I like this. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitted on you. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. Grace is not forced on us. Grace is something we choose to do. And then the rhythm of grace means just like when you're dancing, you move to the music. You don't get out of beat. You move. When I'm exercising at the gym, they'll be playing music. And sometimes I exercise with the music. That keeps me going at a certain pace. So learn the unforced rhythm of grace. Learn how to flow in the grace of God. Flow with the grace of God. Work with the grace of God. Because I told y'all before, the grace of God is always with us. We have grace. God don't save us and then put us out there and say, you're on your own now. He doesn't do that. Mm-mm. But you know what? Sometimes parents does children like that. I done take care of you for 18 years, and then you're on your own. Or if they go to college, I done take care of you since you finished college, and then you're on your own. But he doesn't do that. He gives us grace. Grace is always with us. Always with us. And I'm glad I know that grace is more than just the favor of God. Grace is the ability God gives us to do things. He gives us ability. He enables us to do what he has told us to do, what he expects us to do, what he's looking for us to do. And all that stuff that he told us is stuff that's for our good. So grace enables us. It enables us. Lord, you know, it's kind of hard for me to love that person. You know, they hurt me. I don't trust them. I don't even want to be around them. But what would grace do? Grace will enable you to love that person anyway. Grace will enable you to deal with that person anyway. Suppose there's someone you're working with, and you got to work with them every day. Every day you got to see them. Every day you got to work with them. Grace will enable you to do that. It will enable you to do that. He will enable you to do that. Suppose there's somebody you don't like in the family, but you got to be around that person when they have family gatherings. Maybe you're going to school, and you just can't stand the teacher, and you think that teacher can't stand me. What would grace do? Grace will enable you to make it through, to do what you thought you couldn't do. The grace of God will help you do it. He will help you do it. So what do in order to trust Jesus and not the problem? We lay aside whatever is hindering you, and we look unto Jesus. Let's go to Hebrews 12:1. We lay aside everything that's hindering us, and we look to Jesus. I'm going to read this in the King James Version, and then I'm going to go to the Message translation. Hebrews 12:1. And we all probably know this scripture. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There are some things that will slow you down. The Bible says, living this life is like a race. And there are certain things that will slow us down if we don't get rid of it. The Message translation said this, and I like what it said. It said, do you see what this means? All these pioneers, because in Hebrews 11, it talks about the heroes of faith in the Bible and how they did this by faith. Abraham by faith, Sarah by faith conceived and had Isaac. And it talks about by faith, they did a whole bunch of stuff. And so that's what verse 12:1 is talking about here in Hebrews. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers, all these people that did stuff by faith in the Bible, every one of them, all of us know at least one story somebody did something by faith. By faith what? David slew Goliath. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sin, no extra spiritual fat. Some fat is good. Our body needs fat. But sometimes you don't need too much fat. What does it mean by no spiritual fat? Okay. Y'all here today hearing the word of God. You go home, you hear the word of God, you might read it, you might listen to it. But what happens if all you do is hear the word of God, listen to the word of God, read the Bible, you get some spiritual fatness in you, but you don't do nothing with it. You take it all in and you don't do nothing with it. You don't try to walk in the word, you don't try to speak the word to nobody else, you don't try to give the word of God to nobody else, you don't try to love, You don't allow the fruit of the spirit to come out of you. You're getting fat for nothing because you're not allowing that fatness to be used. So that's what it means by the excessive spiritual fat. No parasitic sin. So some stuff just holding you back, slowing you down, get rid of it. What about a parasitic sin? A parasite is something that sucks blood out of another living creature. That's what a parasite does. It sucks blood out of another living creature. So there are parasitic sins that what? Will suck the very life of God out of us. You'll get dry. You'll get dry. You won't have the life of God. That don't mean God has left you. It means the life of God. God is not in you, in your soul, in your mind. It's not there. You don't. You still saved, but you don't feel saved. You know God is with you, but you don't feel him. You're dry. You're spiritually dry. Because what? You allow something to suck the very life of God out of you. I've noticed this. Now, I like watching television, probably too much. Too much. So sometimes when I don't have much to do, or I have something to do, but I just don't want to do it right then. But sometimes, you know how they got to have these episodes, these shows? And it's like a soap opera. They show episodes. There's episode one, season one, episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. A lot of episodes. A lot of episodes. So why don't we just sit there and we start on episode one and we start binging? Well, I want to see episode 2. I want to see episode 3. After a while, you done spent what? 9 or 10 hours watching all them episodes. And then all of a sudden, you said, I don't feel very spiritual. I feel kind of dry. I don't feel like I did when I was at church Sunday. That's what I mean by a parasitic sin. It'll slowly suck the blood out of you. It don't feel like that's what's happening at the time. We really enjoying ourselves watching that show. But slowly, slowly, it's taking the life of God out of us. Now, I'm not saying television is wrong. Watch television. I watch television. But we don't need to binge on it. We don't need to watch television hours and hours all day long and don't read our Bible. We won't have the life of God if we do it that way. Still saved. Still born again. Still going to be with Jesus. But you don't feel his presence like you want to feel his presence. You don't have the communion with him like you want to have. And that's what I mean by parasitic sins. They'll suck the life of God right out of you. Let's look at Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2. The King James Version. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So in order to trust Jesus, we got to get rid of all that stuff that's weighing us down, that's holding us back. Get rid of the parasitic sin that's sucking the life out of us and look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. If we want to trust him, we got to look to him. We got to look to him. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze unto Jesus, who birthed faith within us. And who leads us forward into faith's perfection. We got to look to Jesus. We can't make this journey by ourselves. There's no way. And God never meant for us to make it by ourselves. He always meant to be there with us. And Jesus is with us through what? Through the Holy Spirit. He's not here in the natural. But he's with us through the Holy Spirit. We can talk to him. We can look to him. We can look to him. So we're supposed to look at him and not the natural realm. The natural realm can be very loud. The natural realm can speak loud. Natural emotions can speak loud. Our physical things can speak loud. But we got to look away from those things and what? Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Because Jesus and his way is contrary to the way of the world. They don't, the Bible says they don't mix. They contrary one to the other. And what's Jesus' example? Jesus' example is this. His heart was focused on what? the joy of knowing that you and I would be his. He endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliations, and now sits exalted in the right hand of the throne of God. He endured the cross because it saw you and it saw me. So if we want an example, what are we supposed to do? Look to Jesus. And it's not easy to overcome certain things. It's not easy to stop certain habits. I know. I've had habits to deal with. It's not easy. But what we look to him, we can endure whatever suffering we have to go through to give up a certain habit because what? Jesus endured. He suffered for you. He suffered for me because he saw you. He said, if I get through the cross, if I suffer the cross, then when I do that, I'm going to bring many sons and daughters into the kingdom. I'm going to bring deliverance to many. I'm going to bring many to God as sons and daughters. So we got to look to him. We got to look to him. We got to look to him. And because now what? He endured the cross. He made a way of salvation for us. And now he's what? He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's exalted. And you know what? One day that's where we're going to be. This life down here is short compared to eternity with Jesus. Very short. We have to endure. And James 1:12 tells us what will happen if we endure. James 1:12 says this. Blessed is the man or woman who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. We've been promised the crown of life. If we endure temptation, then we have been approved and God will and we will receive a crown of life. That's been promised to us. Revelation 2:10 says this. Jesus says to the church of Smyrna, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And you have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Smyrna was one of the seven churches, and Jesus warned them of their persecution that was coming on them. But he said, don't fear, because I will give you a crown of life. He gives us a crown of life. He gives us a crown of life. Everybody's going to live forever. You know, spirits don't die. Bodies die. Spirits don't. So everybody's spirit and soul are going to live forever. But not everybody's spirit and soul are going to be with Jesus. Some's going to be in hell and then in the lake of fire. And then those that have accepted Jesus as their Savior is going to be with him. So we're the ones that are going to get a crown of life. We get a crown of life. So if you think about the suffering we have to suffer down here, is short compared to eternity. It's very, and when you get my age, you're gonna really know it's short compared to eternity. You know, I've already lived long and I'm going to live. So, you know, compared to eternity, this life here is short. It's very short. So what am I supposed to do? Store up for myself treasures in heaven. Not store up treasures down here, but store up for myself treasures in heaven, because that's where I'm going to live the longest at, in heaven with Jesus, and you too. So we got to what? Keep looking and considering Jesus. He endured the cross and he made it. If Jesus made it, guess what? You can make it, I can make it. If he endured and made it, we can endure and make it. If he endured temptation, suffered the cross, and he made it, and as exalted and sitting on the right hand of the Father, we can make it too. He paved the way for us so that we could make it. Hebrews 12:3, for consider him, talking about Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. He didn't become weary. He didn't become discouraged, but he endured the hostility. He had to endure many hostilities from sinners. They crucified him. They whipped him. They put a crown of thorn on his head. He suffered. I was thinking about the blood of Jesus, and I was thinking about how his blood was shed at the crucifixion. And they put a spear in his side. And somebody did a study at one time about how many times his blood was shed. They put a spear in his side, blood came out. They put a crown of thorn on his head, blood came out. They whipped him, and blood came out. So he suffered many a times and shed much blood for us. But that fourth verse says, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Has any of you been striving against sin in here and shedding the blood because of it? No. Nobody whipped us because of we were striving against sin. Nobody put a crown of thorn on our head. We haven't shed any drops of blood as we strive against sin. We just what? We suffer discomfort. We had to deny our appetites. We had to deny our emotions. Those are things we had to suffer so far, but we haven't suffered by shedding any blood yet. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed striving against sin. After all, you have not yet reached the point of sweating blood in your opposition to sin. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Some people that have suffered opposition to sin and shed blood. Other countries where you're told, if you deny Jesus, I'll spare your life. But if you don't deny Jesus, you know, I'm going to kill your family and I'm going to kill you. Now, they have resisted sin and have shed blood because of it. They've strived against sin, said no to sin. I'm not going to deny Jesus. And they killed them and killed their family. We haven't had to face any of that over here. Our suffering is emotional and physical, you know, but not striving the way Jesus did. So trust Jesus, not the problem. Jesus wanted his disciples to trust him, not the problem. Let's go to Mark 4:35. Jesus did a lot of things with his disciples, but I think one of the things he was doing to the disciples was he was wanted them to learn to trust him. He wanted the disciples to learn to trust him. And that's the same thing he wants from us. He wants us to learn to trust him. And we learn to trust him by what? Trusting his word. We trust the word of God. We trust Jesus. Because the word and Jesus is one. The word was made flesh. So in order to trust him, we have to trust his word. We have to trust his word. We have to trust his word. Mark 4:35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, Jesus said this, didn't he? Let us cross over to the other side. That's what he told the disciples. Let us cross over to the other side. The disciples had the word of Jesus. They had his word. Let us cross over to the other side. Mark 4:36. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. So Jesus was in a boat, probably with the disciples, and there were other boats with him out on the water. Mark 4:37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. So a storm came up, and they're out there on the water, and the waves was beating against the ship to the point to what? Water's coming in the ship. And the disciples was afraid that they were going to drown because the waves and the wind would overturn the ship. And we know many ships have been lost at sea. Many ships have been lost at sea. So the windstorm came up and the water was filling the ship. Now, just because you have Jesus with you and you have his word doesn't mean it's always going to be smooth. Not going to be smooth sailing. The disciples had Jesus' word, let us go to the other side. They had him in the ship with him. But just because you got Jesus in your life, just because you're born again, you know the Lord, just because he gave you his word about something, it does not mean it's going to be smooth sailing. Does not mean it's not going to be no problem. There will be problems. What do we do? The storm came to challenge the word of God. With the disciples, the storm came what? To challenge the word of God. Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. So the enemy set the storm to challenge the word of God. When God give us his word, we read the word of God and decide to stand on the word of God. Guess what? The enemy's going to challenge the word of God in you. He's going to try to get you not to believe the word of God, not to take the word of God, not to stand on the word of God. He want to try to get you to believe the storm, which is the problem, more than the word of God. And that's what the disciples did. They started believing the storm. It was real and it was fierce. The water was getting in the ship. It looked like they were going to drown. So rather than believing the word of God, they begin to believe the storm. So what are you believing today? Are you believing your problem? Or are you trusting Jesus? When it comes to the word of God, are you trusting his word? Or do you trust the problem? And the disciples were in that predicament. But where was Jesus? But Jesus was not disturbed because he knew who he was and what he possessed. Okay, let's read Mark 4:34. Where was Jesus? But he was in the stern of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Now, you know, if a storm is going up, the wind is blowing, the boat is reeling and rocking, look, and water getting in the boat, and Jesus didn't even wake up. He didn't wake up till the disciples woke him up. He believed what he said. He said, "Let us go over to the other side." And as far as Jesus was concerned, they were going to the other side. Storm or no storm, problem or no problem, we making it to the other side. And the same thing with us. We have the word of God. We got to trust Jesus. Problem or no problem. What's going on or whatever's not going on. How my body feel or don't feel. What my emotions are doing or not doing. I used to be a very emotional person. I had to learn how to conquer my emotions. You know? So, you know, emotions or no emotions. You know, we have to believe the word of God. So Jesus was asleep. He had no problems. He trusted the Father to get them to the other side. But they woke up Jesus and they said, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" What happened? What the disciples? They have what? Forgotten the word of Jesus. They forgot Jesus had said, "We're going to let us go over to the other side." He didn't say, "Let us try to go to the other side." He didn't say, "Maybe we'll go to the other side." What did he say? "Let us go over to the other side." They forgot the words of Jesus. They forgot the miracles he had performed. He already opened up blind eyes. He did all kinds of miracles, healed a withered hand. He had done all kinds of stuff. They forgot all that. They also forgot they had given him power and authority, because this was after he gave them authority to go out and heal the sick like he was doing. That's in Mark 3:14-15. So they forgot the word of God. They forgot he said, "Let us go over to the other side." Because of the storm, which was their problem, they looked at the problem and they didn't trust Jesus. They didn't trust his word. Mark 4:39 said this, "Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased and there was a great calm." Have you ever spoke to a storm like Jesus did here? I have. The storm was raging. There was a tornado. Matter of fact, I was standing looking out my window. The tornado was coming. And I didn't know which way it was going. And I had to command the tornado not to come on my side where I was. I was living on 42 on this side, and tornado was on the other side. The tornado went straight down on 42 like that. They never crossed over where I was. And there have been storms, and I said, "Peace, be still," thunderstorm. The storm would cease. The lightning would stop. So Jesus had the authority to speak to the storm, but the disciples didn't realize they had that same authority because Jesus had given them authority. He had given them the same authority he had. Same diseases that he healed, they could heal. They had already done some of that. So trust Jesus, not the problem, because the problem comes, like I said, to steal the word of God out of your heart and out of your life. Because of what? The enemy knows the word of God works. You know, if you stand on that word will eventually change the situation. And one thing God showed me when I was studying this is that when we trust God, when we trust his word, the word changes. Once we trust the word of God, we trust God's word. When we trust his word, then the power of the Holy Spirit has the authority to start working. And when the power of the Holy Spirit starts working, the power of the Holy Spirit can change a physical situation. It can change a physical body. It can grow out legs and limbs. It can change your body to where sickness has to go, and you're well and you're no longer sick. Because the power of God changes physical things. It changes material things. And you got to think about that way. It's not a fantasy. This thing is not a fantasy. This thing is not a mind thing. The power of God actually changes a physical situation. It changes a physical body. It drives out sickness and disease. It changes things. But we have to trust Jesus and not the problem. Mark 4:40 says this. He said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Why are you so fearful? Fear and faith cannot coexist in the same place. If you're fearful, your faith is not working. Remember what Jesus told the ruler? Don't be afraid, only believe. When angels came and spoke to Mary and other, he said, "Fear not." And you see that all out the Bible, fear not. Because when you're fearing, you can't believe. Fear hinders our faith. So choose to trust and not to fear. Not fear. Then he turned to his disciples and said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Haven't you learned to trust yet?" This is the Passion Translation. Then he turned, and this is what the pastor, how the Passion Translation translated verse 40. Then he turned to his disciples and said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Haven't you learned to trust yet?" He had been teaching them how to trust him, how to trust his word. He fully expected them to take his word. When he said, "Let us go to the other side," he fully expected them to believe his word and know no storm could stop them. Nothing could stop them from getting to the other side. If they only had trusted Jesus, they wouldn't have been bothered by the storm, because the storm could not overtake them because they had the word of God. He said, "Haven't you learned to trust yet?" He's saying that same thing to us this morning. Haven't you learned to trust yet? Why are you so overcome with fear about a problem? Why are you letting this thing get you down? Why are you letting this thing worry you? Why are you acting like it has more power than the word of God? Haven't you learned to trust yet? Trust the word of God. Trust him. Trust what he said. Don't trust the problem. Wherever the problem might be, it might be in your body. It might be in your mind, your emotion, but don't trust the problem. It could be at school. It could be at work. It could be in your family, but don't trust the problem. Trust Jesus. Trust his word. Trust his word. And verse 441 says this, "And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" See, they were learning that nothing was outside of the authority of Jesus. Nothing was outside the authority of his word. And we should learn that. Nothing is outside of the word of God. Nothing has more power than the word of God. Nothing is outside of his authority. No demons, no sickness, no disease, no problem, no situation, whatever it is not outside of the authority of God. God has authority. His word has the authority. We have to just trust the word of God. We've been redeemed, people. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And if you've been redeemed, then we ought to say so. We can say what he said. We can do what he did. Because what? We've been redeemed. So trust the word of God. Trust the word of God. The disciples learned that they could trust that even the wind and waves obeyed the word of Jesus. In my conclusion today, trust the word of God. Because the power of God to bring about change in your physical body, in your mind, in your thoughts, your will, your emotions, in your finances, in your relationship, and every circumstance of your life. Trusting the word of God brings upon the power of God. When you trust God, the power of God works on your behalf. He works on your behalf, no matter what the situation is. Trust that every word of God is true and never void of power. Trust that every word of God is true and never void of power. Trust that at each new day, we be filled with joy and peace because of the finished work of Jesus. Live each moment fully aware of your blessing. Trust, I'm going to read all these again. Trust that the word of God causes the power of God to bring about a change in your physical body, in your mind, in your thoughts, in your will, in your emotions, in your finances, in your relationships, and in every circumstance of your life. Trust that every word of God is true and never void of power. Trust that each new day will be filled with joy and peace because of the finished work of Jesus. Live each moment fully aware of your blessing. Let's stand. Trust Jesus and not the problem. Trust Jesus and not the problem. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father God, that you're steady teaching us and helping us to walk according to your word. We thank you, Father God, that we are kingdom kids and we ought to be kingdom minded. And God, we want to be kingdom minded. We want to operate in everything the way the kingdom operates in it. So help us to learn to more and more trust you, Jesus, and not the problem. And God, every one of us has an area where we need to bring under subjection to you, where we need to trust you more than we trust that situation, where we need to trust you more than we trust that problem. And once we trust you, God, your power will start working and bringing about a change. So God, we thank you for trust today. We thank you for trust today. And faith is just trusting in what you said. And never stop trusting, but humbling ourselves and say, God, you're right. I've been trusting in something that's not yours. I've been trusting in something that you didn't say. I've been trusting in something that you didn't ordain. I've been trusting, Father God, my flesh or what I wanted or how I saw it, and not trusting you and your word. But today I humble myself, God, and I come in agreement with you, and I trust your word. I trust your word, Lord. I trust your word, Lord. I give it all to you. I give every problem, every situation, every circumstance, every physical condition. God, I give it to you. Every problem in the relationship, God, I give it to you. And I trust you to work it out. I trust your power to bring healing and deliverance. I trust you, God, and not myself and my own thoughts and my own way about this thing. But God, I trust you. I trust you and not the problem. The problem's not bigger than you. You're way bigger than the problem. If there's a contest, God, the problem loses every time because it cannot win over your power and over your strength. And so, God, I thank you for trust today. I thank you for trust today. I thank you for trust today, God, in the name of Jesus. And I ask you, God, Father God, that you help us to walk more and more in trusting you and trusting your word. And we would trust the power of God in our lives. We would trust the power of God to work. We would trust the Spirit of God on the inside of us. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead, your word said, God, is in us. So help us trust that power that's in us. Yes. Help us, God, to trust the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And our lives will change according to the power of God that's in us. As we believe it, it will begin to work more and more on our behalf. And so, God, we thank you for that power on the inside of us today. We thank you, Father God. We give you all the glory and all the praise, and we magnify your name. And, Father God, we say thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.